bring to you these last, my goodness, 7 weeks, messages all with the beginning of blessed. You know, there truly are blessings for those who serve the Lord. And the blessings come in many shapes and fashions along the way. Well, over 2,000 years ago, as Jesus is giving this Sermon on the Mount, we find these blessings are the beginning of a long sermon. Don't worry, we're not going to go through all of that great sermon today. We'll just touch on a couple verses. If you have your Bibles, please open them one more time with me to this section of blessings as we conclude our Beatitudes, is what it's called. Our sermon, our series on the Beatitudes. We'll be looking at verses 10 through 12 today as we approach blessed are the persecuted. Over in verse number 10, we find Jesus says this, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Dear God, I thank you, Lord, for this Lord's Day. And God, I thank you for the sermon that your Son Jesus gave so many years ago that, Lord, still speaks volumes to the hearts of saints today. Lord, I pray today that as we are here once again, Lord, at the mountainside of the Lord, just listening to those sweet words that your Son had uttered, Lord, I pray that your Spirit will move through the midst today. God, if there is one here who does not know you as Savior, oh Lord, I pray today they will come to know you as Savior before it is eternally too late. God, guide our minds. Lord, guard our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a saying that goes like this, "The early churches were married to poverty, prisons, and persecutions. Today, however, they are married to prosperity, personality, and popularity." We do seem to have a defining change of what it is that constitutes a church and in which the direction a church will tend to gravitate as time goes on. When we look at the early time of church history, we find churches that did not have the opportunity for buildings such as this blessed one we have here. They would meet in houses and they would change their schedule of where they would meet often so that they would not be, well, taken and all put to death for the cause of Christ. We know of the persecutions of Nero. We also know of the persecutions of Diocletian and all of these other emperors who Rome had birthed forth. The emptiness, the vileness, the murderous rage of which they had to see the name of Jesus Christ stamped out of their empire. Why? Because Caesar is the only one worthy of worship. Jesus is not worthy of worship. We know that to be false. And so as the persecutions continue to get heated, you would think that the name of Jesus would start to diminish and start to cease. The more saints you put down, the greater the opposition has been beaten back. But yet, as the years go on, as centuries continue to move on, we hear those words of that Pharisee who told the other Pharisees many years ago, "If it is of God, then it will prosper, but if it is not of God, then it will cease." My friend, the name of Jesus has prospered. And we find a clear history of church history from the beginnings there with Antioch all the way up to even Marsh Road Baptist Church today. But along the path, we find times where persecution does exist. Today, I'd like to look at this section that Jesus offered to those who were going to be followers of Him. He says this, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This had to be a foreign concept to those disciples at this time because at this moment, Jesus, His ministry was really just starting to take some root and really starting to go forward. And we know that John the Baptist prepared the hearts of the people when he said, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make your paths straight." We know that he had reached the heart of even the governor. We know that he had reached the heart of even the king of the land. And so Jesus is here at this moment, and he is telling them, there's coming a day where you will be persecuted for righteousness' sake. They look around at each other and probably like, persecution? What's he talking about? I don't know about this. I mean, that's a pretty hard pill to swallow. All those disciples, the 12, looking upon each other, I guarantee you, some of them were thinking, persecution? Yeah, right. Jesus is ushering in his eternal kingdom. He is ushering in this great kingdom we have desired of for so many years. Messiah, King of the Jews. But yet, not too long from there, we would find one of them run through with a sword. We would find their greatest spokesman, Peter, crucified upside down. We would find another one, the Revelator, John, blessed and beloved of Jesus Christ. He would be dipped in oil and left for dead. But yet, Jesus saw fit that he makes it through. Fox's Book of Martyrs gives us a great testimony of those who had died for the cause of Christ. I wonder today, in our day of prosperity, in our day of popularity, and in our day of personality, if we truly could endure like those early churches did. Let's look at three different points regarding this area of persecution. First, what does it mean to be persecuted? I ran my fingers across. I was walking through the pews there trying to get my way out. And I got a splinter in my hand. I'm persecuted for righteousness' sake. Oh, some people would say that's persecution. I went to church after all, so that falls in line, the areas of righteousness' sake. So I guess that's what it is. No, that's nothing like persecution of which Jesus was talking. Well, I'm persecuted by my family. They don't want me to go to church. They don't want me to worship the Lord. Well, there's a next verse there. Blessed are they, or blessed are ye, when men shall revile you. There's a difference between being reviled and being persecuted. What does it mean to be persecuted? Well, to be persecuted literally means pursued, followed after, as one does a fleeing enemy. So in context, it does mean to be vexed, means to be an oppressed one, especially in the account of his own religion. Now, I will correct many who will say, well, Baptists, that's just another religion. Well, Protestantism, that's just another religion. Well, Catholicism, that's just another religion. Well, I want to tell you and set the record straight for Baptists, this is not a religion, this is a faith. All right? We walk by faith, not by sight. They who were persecuted, they would be injured. They would be injured by name. They would be injured by reputation. They would be injured by a loss of property. They would be in danger of losing even their life because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Open Doors USA polled in January of 2024. I try to get as current as I can. Whenever you bring statistics out, you need to get it as close as you possibly can. And so January of 2024 is the latest one of which I have for us today. Did you know that every single day there are 13 saints that are martyred throughout this world? From October 2022 to September of 2023, the following numbers have been recorded. 4,125 Christians were detained without trial. They were arrested, they were sentenced, or imprisoned. 3,906 believers were abducted because of their faith. More than 3,200 Christian women were raped, sexually harassed, or forced into a marriage with that of a non-believer. That's all in the span of just 1 year. How about this one? 42,849 Christians were physically or mentally abused. Here's another large number. Over 300,000 Christians were forced to flee their homes, go into hiding, or even leave the country of their origin. We live in a land where we think persecution is when somebody just rises up against an opinion we have to offer with their own opinion. Persecution does take many shapes, faces, and forms, but that falls within the line of reviled, okay? Those who are reviled for their testimony, for them serving the Lord. There, you will have, if you serve the Lord, if you tell someone about Jesus, mark it them. You will find time where people will rise up against you because you are declaring the truth. Persecution, though, as we see, takes many shapes and forms. Jesus says, on this type of persecution, let me make it very clear. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Okay? He makes it very clear. This is the blessing that comes to those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You may go through a lot of different types of persecutions. You might go through a lot of, you know, persecution at your job. You might make somebody upset while you're doing your job. Man, I would get people upset all the time at Tractor Supply because my job was to audit all the departments, from the highest department down to the lowest department, look for inefficiencies and look for ways of which we can improve Tractor Supply. And we took that warehouse from just being a small little $3 million distribution center all the way up to a $33 million distribution center in the course of just 2 years. Comes with upsetting a lot of people along the way. Sometimes progress demands reviling. Sometimes it happens. In order for progress to truly take place regarding the cause of Christ, my friend, we must be willing to face persecution. We must be willing to face opposition. If you think that this country is safe, if you think that we don't have to worry about persecution in this country, you might be at an age of where you may be going home to glory before this persecution takes true birth. But let me tell you, what happened just a couple weeks ago is a very clear sign. And what's happening even today, it's a very clear sign. Persecution is on the horizon for the saints of the United States of America. Those who rejoice over a man getting shot, how vile that must be. Those who hold parties and praise the fact that someone who, yes, he might have upset a lot of people along the way because his opinion did not match up with what they wanted. But I know that he had a clear testimony of Jesus Christ. I believe that he was persecuted for righteousness' sake. Whether you agree with me or not, that's based on your own opinion. But looking at everything that I see and looking at the motives for which that shooting had taken place, it sure looks very clear to me. What we are having today is a day in which churches ought not to be focused so much on her prosperity, nor her prosperity gospel, but we ought to be focused more on this, reaching this world for Jesus, because a day of persecution is nigh. If you or one who is persecuted for righteousness' sake, remember this, you are not wrestling against flesh and blood. Remember who you're wrestling against. It's the devil himself. For he desired to sift Peter as wheat, Jesus says. But Jesus helped Peter make it through. God will help us to make it through. What is the meaning of persecution? I hope that you understand a little bit more. Why? Number two, why is it important to distinguish our persecution? Man, I made something the other day. You know, I like to cook. Cooking doesn't bother me so much. Doing the dishes at the end of it, you know, that's another story. But I had a good chef who always told me the best chef is one who not only prepares the meal but cleans the dishes. All right, I get you there. But anyway, but I had a dish that I was doing the other day, and I thought it was going to come out quite well. It was chicken marsala. Any of you all like chicken marsala? Yeah, it can be a tricky dish to create, you know. And I had never made it before. Uh-oh. Now you know where this is going, don't you? Yes. I was like, if it's going to be chicken marsala, I know my kids really don't care for mushrooms, but I don't care. They're getting it anyway. And so I made a dish with chicken marsala, you know, and that man, they wanted good home mashed potatoes, and so I did the mashed potatoes too at the same time. I thought I did a pretty decent meal. Little did I know the chicken was going to be tougher than nails. I mean, it was like trying to eat a piece of steak from the worst steakhouse ever. Horrible. I couldn't believe how, man, I was like, come on. Can I get through this anytime soon? Well, you know, I noticed that, yes, every good chef does his dishes too. And so as I'm, you know, doing the, you know, going through and I'm looking at these plates, you know, depending on how many scraps you have at the end of the meal determines whether or not it was a success or a failure. I didn't bother saving the leftovers, if that tells you where we're going. So if I make chicken marsala, sure, you're invited. You could come on over to my house and dine, but you might have to wear an extra sharp pair of teeth. Man, I thought that was persecution. You know, I mean, I put all this work, I put all this time, I put all this effort into something. I mean, I was sweating, working over this kitchen, you know, trying to fix a good home-cooked meal, you know, and doing all that stuff. And man, I got persecuted. This chicken's too tough. What is this? Oh, this doesn't look like marsala. I mean, and yeah, the leftovers definitely proved the fact that I was persecuted for what I cooked. Well, you know what? A lot of us think that persecution, is, as a Christian, that's persecution. That is not persecution. I mean, it is of a type, but that's not for righteousness' sake. Why is it important for us to distinguish the type of persecution we're going through? Because the devil would like you to believe certain things you're facing in this life is persecution, so you might as well just give up and quit now. That's what the devil wants. Throw in the towel, walk away. And to the simple-minded, those who are weak in their faith, those who have been planted over by the rocks, yes, absolutely, they're going to just wither away. How about you, though? Let's distinguish this type of persecution. Many people will distinguish persecution based upon their feelings. Oh, no, but it's true. Many people will base persecution or have it guided by their emotions. After all, my emotions were damaged, therefore I must be persecuted. To a certain degree, they are correct. After all, verse 11 does say, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." You being persecuted is not done directly against you. Remember this. Why is it important to distinguish our persecution? If it is done because people do not like who you worship, who you serve, who you've given everything of your life to, the one who you are fully surrendered to, the one who bore that cross and took upon Him the shame, the sin of this whole entire world. If that's who you're worshiping today and you are persecuted because of Him, that's why it's important to distinguish persecution. Because that is why we will be rewarded. Because of the cross we bear, not for our own glory, but it's a cross we bear so the world may see Jesus. May the world see Jesus today. May we distinguish the type of persecution we face. Is this a persecution that I brought upon myself because of my lack of wisdom, my lack of discernment, my hasty decision making? Is it because of that I'm being persecuted, or am I being persecuted because I do worship the Lord, because I do follow Jesus, because I do tell others about Him? It's important to distinguish. It's very important to distinguish. If you're over here on this side and you're being persecuted, you know, because of, well, you made a bad decision. Well, sometimes those kind of persecutions we ought to face. But know this, Jesus will never leave thee and He will never forsake thee. No matter what the trial, no matter what the testing, no matter what the burden might be, give it to Jesus. He'll make your burden light. But these who are persecuted, the type, the distinguish of persecution here for righteousness' sake, this is why. Because they are followers of the Lord. I'm doing this because I love my Savior. I'm doing this because I have no greater cause in life. I'm doing this because I am fully surrendered. Ah, the lips of those missionaries who go forth to foreign lands. You find many a time persecution who will face them. Obstinate, no, not people, but obstinance from the devil himself. I've heard stories from missionaries, such as the one that we took up our missions emphasis last week regarding Emmaus Baptist College, Brother Danny Jones, missionary to Thailand. I've heard the stories of where he had to go right through the middle of a huge rebellion. He was in this city trying to do things for the Lord, trying to disciple and trying to teach and trying to invite people to church. And as he's in this town with another missionary, they get the word that the red shirt revolt has taken place. Yeah, if you're over there, don't ever wear a red shirt. Okay? Don't wear red pants. Mm-mm. I learned that lesson really quickly. When I got there, the revolt had just kind of calmed down. And I was told I had a red shirt in my suitcase. And I was told, you better burn that before you get on the airplane to go back home. By the way, let's just do it right now. You know, they said, all right, I trust your judgment. Well, I didn't know all that was going on. Well, that missionary that I was staying with at the time, Brother Sims, Tim Sims, and I didn't know at the time that him and Danny Jones had just been in a town not even a year before this. Before us getting there, and while they were in this town, the revolt had taken place. They found a bunch of red shirts were marching on the media. They had taken a bunch of the cameramen, the people who of the press, and they were hanging them, they were burning them, they were shooting them, they were doing whatever they could to them. And then when they saw Danny Jones and they saw Tim Sims, they said, "Missionary," and they started to run after them too. Danny Jones said, "I've never ran so fast in my life." And you see that guy? He's a pretty big boy. But he said, once this diesel train gets moving, it's hard to get it to stop. And there was another man that was with them as well. See, they were working with the TV station there. They were working with them so that they could get the message of the gospel out to the people all throughout this land really quickly. And they had a member of the press with them as well. And the cameraman, he said, "Run. Run." Well, another missionary had already had their truck and so he had the truck already started and ready to go. Well, they had to get through this town in order to get to that truck. It was too dangerous to drive into town at the time. Military had already been called. They were being dispatched in. But it was that moment people were dying like crazy left and right. And so Tim Sims and Danny Jones and this cameraman, they start taking off. The cameraman, he still had all of his stuff and he lost his footing and he fell. Danny and Tim look back at him and he says, "Because you know Jesus, run. Leave me here. Run." Those were the last words they ever heard from him. As they're pulling out of the town, they saw that man stripped naked, shot to death, and hung upside down from a tree. Persecution is real in this world. And many of us don't think that it's real. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Jesus says, here's your reward. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You might be thinking, well, do I have to be persecuted in order to go to heaven? I mean, that's what Jesus is kind of saying. Oh, no. I don't want to go through that. Persecution isn't reserved for every Christian, I believe. But for those who live in a land of where persecution does not exist, we ought to do everything we can to help those feet that are on the ground in those lands of persecution. If Russia does get her way with Ukraine, missionaries you all support, Mark and Laura Bohannon, they will be hunted down and they will be killed. Russia does not like Christians. We live in a land of great prosperity, but let it not be forgotten, at any moment, our prosperity could be turned into persecution. These saints were willing to go to die. No, not necessarily so their family might live, though that is one of the benefits. I'll die so that my family can live. These saints were willing to go to die so that they would die and maybe their church members that were with them as well might live. Yes, that's a perk of it too. But I guarantee you the main reason they were willing to go to the Colosseums, the main reason they became the torchlights for Rome, here's why. Because they knew Jesus. And anything this world has to do to them, Jesus is worth it all. Because they lived, because they died, because they served, because they sacrificed, they truly were a friend of Jesus. And yes, because they served the Lord for righteousness' sake, they became the very enemy of Satan. I think one of the reasons why this country truly has a, well, jaded view on persecution, I think one of the greatest reasons why is because Christians in the land have become too comfortable being in the closet and letting the world run wild. I said, what does it mean to be persecuted? Why is it important to distinguish our persecution? The last thing I have for you today is this. When will the persecuted one be rewarded? How long must they wait for their reward? How long must they wait, O Lord? We find in Revelation those saints that die during the tribulation. They are there in heaven, clothed in their robes, but yet we find that they are still covered in the blood of the saints because they were martyred for the cause of Christ. And they are asking the one who sits on the throne, they are asking Him who knows all things, they are asking the very one who gave them life, God, how long will you tarry before you judge this world? Oh, the depth of His mercy and grace. It must be so deep that even no mortal eye can see its depth. To be absent from the body, it says, is to be present with the Lord. When the first recorded murder we have over in the book of Acts, when we have that first recorded murder getting ready to close his eyes in death, we find him saying that he could see Jesus standing there, the right side of the throne. Did you also notice that with this, you don't hear Stephen crying out with pain? You don't hear of how horrible and how gross of a moment that was for Stephen. You don't hear of how he repented of being a Christian and ran away from knowing Christ just so the stones would stop coming. No. I believe Stephen did not feel any pain. For those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, at that moment of martyrdom, I believe there is no more pain. And you read about that as well, time and again, of those saints through Fox's Book of Martyrs. How they were able to sing even when the fire was raging around them. How they were still able to sing when people would pierce them with arrows and spears. How they could still boldly declare Jesus Christ to those that were looking on. Why is it that we who are persecuted must wait until we see glory to experience this reward? Do we have to wait, O Lord? Do we have to wait? Well, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you know that this time upon this earth, it is just a fleeting moment. It's just like sand within the hourglass. Some of the hourglasses tend to be a little bit bigger, but there's also those that seem to be a lot smaller. How long, O Lord, must we endure? How precious are the feet of those saints that are willing to endure even until the end? Why is it that they must wait? Like I said, because they're just strangers in a foreign land. Why is it that they must wait? Because they're not truly home just yet. The Apostle Paul made it very clear that we are aliens, or we are just foreigners within this land. We should not make ourselves so comfortable here in Woodbridge, Virginia, or wherever it is you live. You should not make yourself so comfortable here that this truly becomes your home. Because, my friend, we ought to know this: heaven is our true home. Almost every 2 hours, another Christian will enter into the kingdom of heaven because they became a martyr for the Lord. Every 2 hours, another one. Another one. Will we be willing to face persecution? In the face of persecution, I believe if this country were to truly face a persecution, that of the effects of Nero and Diocletian and those other 8 along the way that persecuted Christians, I think if this country was to go through something like that, the devil just might win. Because there's so little fortitude of Christians today to stand up for the cause of Christ. Then again, the events which we have just faced this month alone. You see where a great revival seems to be breaking loose. You see where a lot more people are coming to boldly declare Jesus Christ. You find a whole entire streets full with people. You find complexes full of people. You find we're going to find a 100,000 seat auditorium or place that's going to be full. Why? Not just to commemorate the memory of a man. But I dare say most of them are there to say, we likewise will hold that same torch. What is it that one of our founding fathers said? Give me liberty or give me death. They knew, signing on that declaration, they knew that putting their name to it, they were signing their death sentence if they lost the war. John Hancock said, well, let me make it evidently known so they all know it's me. He made his 50-point font. Well, some of them just made theirs like 2-point font. How big of a font would you be willing to put down if you needed to sign up for a list of those who are willing to be persecuted for righteousness' sake? Would you do a 2-point font? Or would you say, no, I'm willing to go all the way, baby. I'm doing this for the Lord. I'm not doing this for myself. Let's make it a 50-point font. Gene Burdett, you know? We do not live to please flesh and blood, but we live to serve a risen Savior. Stand fast. Hold firm to the truth of Jesus Christ. Throw out the lifeline to those who are lost, even if it means you passing the line to another to hold because you become a martyr for Christ. If you are a believer, know this: Satan will hunt you down if you're truly in it for righteousness' sake. Well, there's going to be a lot of people walking out of here today saying, not me. I'm not telling anybody about Jesus now. I don't want to go through that kind of stuff. There'll be people saying, nope, I don't think so. I'm setting a hammock up out in my yard. That's where I'm going to be. Taking all, I want all the gospel tracks out of my car, you know. Remove my Jesus bumper sticker. You know, I don't want none of that stuff on my car because I don't want to go through persecution. Well, if that's your case, if that's where you are, I pity you. Because Jesus wants you to take up your cross. He didn't say take up your tutu. He didn't say pick up your laziness. No, he said pick up an item that will cost you everything. Pick up your cross and follow me. Will you be as many of those disciples were at the end of this message as it was delivered? There were many who no longer followed after the Sermon on the Mount. Or will you be like those true 11 disciples? Lord, I don't know how it's going to happen. God, I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't even know if it's ever going to happen. But Lord, I'm here as your disciple. God, I am dedicated to your cause. After all, we ought to rejoice and be exceeding glad. Jesus says, "For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Hey, you might not be like, you might just have an honest, you know, saying today and be like, yeah, I'm not like one of them prophets. There's no way that anybody could say I'm like Elijah or I'm like Elisha. That chariot would have left me behind a long time ago, okay? Elijah took it. I'm still here. Some of you might be saying, well, I'm not like Jeremiah, you know, who's willing to take the Word of God even to the very halls of Congress. Jeremiah took the scrolls right to the very halls of the king, who was obstinate, who was in rebellion, very rebellion of God. Yet Jeremiah still went. Isaiah, yeah, you might not be like Isaiah, but you are just like God created you to be. You might not have one of their names because that's not who you are. Their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And your name, if you know Christ, is in the Lamb's Book of Life too. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, all of this seemed rather foreign to you today. You need to know Jesus before it's eternally too late. The greatest call that could ever come to every single heart of man is the call from the Holy Spirit. Repent. Oh, my friend, you might not be like John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But God made you. God gave you a special gift, not so that you can run and cower in fear, but He made you and He gave you so that you can likewise give back to Him that which He's given you so richly. As we stand for this invitation today, how will you respond?